Great, folks. Ready?
Ready, let's get this show on the road.
Did you turn it on?
Yeah, light.
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. We call to order the Willow City Council regular meeting for Tuesday, February 28, 2017. Item number two on the agenda is our Pledge of Allegiance, if you'd please stand. Longtime city council member and former mayor Vince Hovick, will you do the honors and ladies in the pledge? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Vince. Item number three, roll call. Madam Clerk Pro Tem.
Councilmember Yola?
Here.
Councilmember Williams?
Here.
Councilmember Yola?
Here.
Vice Mayor Warren?
Here.
Mayor Mann?
Here, thank you, Robin. Item four, ceremonial matters. Item four A, presentation of a proclamation recognizing Santa Food Market's nearly 70 years of business in the city of Willows. And it's a pleasure to read this proclamation, and the owners are here, present, and it's good to see you. And congratulations on your soon-to-be retirement. It's well-deserved, well-earned. Santa Food is definitely a mainstay, as we all know here. If I have a proclamation, I'd like to read it into the record. This is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Willows honoring Santa Food Market. Whereas Santa Food Market has been serving the Willows community as a family-owned and operated business since 1947 and has remained a secure, sound, solvent, and reliable grocery store. And whereas for nearly seven decades, Santa Food Market has built a reputation for quality customer service and quality products and has been referred to as simply the best. And whereas Santa Food Market is the only grocery store in the City of Willows that has a full-service meat counter, bakery, and deli. And whereas Santa Food Market has not only been a grocery store, but over the years, its owners have been known for their generosity and philanthropy by donating space and food for various fundraising events, including the yearly City of Willows Keep Our Pool Afloat fundraiser, 4th of July fireworks fundraiser, school fundraisers, Toys for Tots fundraiser, community events, and their strong support for veterans, just to name a few. Additionally, Santa Food has donated an abundance of food to various Willows charities and nonprofit businesses and organizations. And whereas the residents, businesses, nonprofit organizations, and service clubs in the community have benefited greatly by the availability of a successful grocery store that was built to provide traditional standards and values, high-quality grocery products, exceptional customer service, and never once offering customers anything less than simply the best, friendly, person-to-person service. Now, therefore, the City Council of the City Willows, on behalf of the entire Willows community, extend their genuine and sincere gratitude and hereby congratulate and commend Santa Food Market for nearly 70 years of successful business operations, generous contributions, and involvement with community events and volunteer service to the Willows community. Thank you very much.
Say one thing. I worked at Santa Fe for 18 years, and these people were good to me. And when I started working there, Matt was as little as his little guy.
And how old are you, Carrie?
We're not going to talk about it. I'm younger than you are. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations. Thank you very much. So you're admitting you are old then?
No, I'm not as old as any of you.
That is a true statement there. I guess we got to admit that.
No, it's for the litigation.
Thanks again. Item 5, public comment, written communications. Members of the public wishing to address the council on any items not on the agenda may do so at this time when recognized by the mayor or vice mayor. However, no formal action will be taken unless a majority consensus of the council directs staff to place the item on a future agenda. Public comment is generally restricted to 3 minutes. However, as you know, we are liberal with that time frame. So, any public comment on any items not on the agenda tonight? Feel free to approach the podium. Anything? Nothing? Okay, very good. That's a quiet crowd. Okay, item 6, public and or staff presentations. Item 6A, Glenn County Mosquito and Vector Control Board Information Report, Vince Holvick and Luke Nieblack. Vince and Luke.
That's what they're going to go crazy over right here.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, I'm here tonight as your representative for the Glenn County Mosquito and Vector Control District. And last year we had a turnover in staff. We lost a veteran, I guess you might say, of our department of just about 42 years, Mr. Jack Kavir. Decided to retire and leave us, but he didn't leave us in a lurch. He did a very good job over the last 12 years, grooming Mr. Luke Nieblack to be our manager of the district. And tonight I just want to take the time to introduce him to you and give him an opportunity to give you a little overview of the district, 2016, maybe what we're going to do in 2017, just so you're aware where we're at and what we do. I got a little handout for each one of you. It's a little newsletter. I think it was Jack's, one of his last functions, and just for you to read, but please don't do it while Luke is.
Thank you, Vince.
Give him your undivided attention.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to meet all you guys. Vince asked me to come here tonight and kind of talk about some West Nile virus activity for 2016 compared to 2015. And overall, we saw a mild decrease in West Nile virus activity, but a huge decrease in human cases. So I'll start with the dead bird program. We run in 2016, we had 4 positive dead birds. In 2015, we had 4 as well. The mosquito pools, we run EBS traps for surveillance testing, and we collect, they're called pools, but they're more of a sample. We take 50 female mosquitoes and send them to UC Davis live, and they test them for virus. And out of the pools this year, we had 11 come back positive, and last year we had 14 positive throughout the county. Human cases, this year we had 5, or 2016, I'm sorry, last season, we had 5 human cases positive, confirmed, and in 2015 we had 19. And then our chicken, we have a sentinel chicken flock in Northeast Willows that we take blood sample from every other week throughout the summer and send it to UC Davis for testing, and all 10 chickens converted both years. So it was pretty similar except for the drop in human cases. And in 2017, Vince asked me to tell you what I predict. It's really tough to do because last year we expected a really high year again, you know, with the added water. The rice farmers weren't selling their water, so more rice ground was put into production. And we actually saw a drop in West Nile virus. So it's tough to predict. I don't think we'll be high as we were in 2015. I think it'll be very similar to 2016, in my personal opinion. So.
Makes sense with a lot of water this year.
It does. Yeah. You know, and they've looked at different theories on that, and they thought maybe in drought years that the mosquitoes and the birds that are the host are congregated more around these water sources. So as the mosquitoes hatch off, they go up and feed on the roosting birds, where in years where there's an abundance of water, you know, everything's more spread out, and that transaction cycle isn't as.
Well, and I think that people are more aware, so they're taking more precautions. I think that helps.
They are. We've had West Nile virus for several years, and we're always high. I think maybe the scare of Zika, you know, the news media coverage over Zika helped a lot because people were really cautious about mosquitoes. So that might be another reason we had the decrease.
Very good. Well, thank you, Luke. Did you have anything further?
No, that's it, unless anybody has any questions.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Nope, that's fine.
Any questions, members of the council?
I have a question, simple. I was reading someplace where they can lay eggs in mud, mosquitoes?
Yeah, certain species of mosquitoes. A lot of the mosquitoes we have in the county here lay their eggs in water. But the Aedes mosquitoes, Aedes nigromaculus and Aedes melanomum, which we have in the county, will lay their eggs in the mud. And then as the water, say along the river, as that water rises and hits those eggs will start to begin their cycle. So yes, or in the pasture even, they'll lay their eggs in the pasture, and then as you irrigate, it'll come down, and that's when the mosquitoes will start to give off.
Then they can lay eggs in a very minute amount of water?
Certain species, yeah. Aedes albopictus and Aedes aegypti, which are a new invasive species we have in the United States. Very minute samples of water. They're very hard to control. We've heard from districts who have had these mosquitoes in their district. They went into houses, and inside the P-traps of the sinks, they were actually breeding in coffee makers where water was sitting in the coffee makers. They were breeding in the coffee makers themselves.
Yikes.
So it's just, they're very cryptic, and very aggressive mosquitoes. So, and we luckily don't have them in our county yet, but it's just a matter of time.
That's creepy, yeah.
San Mateo County is the furthest north county that has the Aedes albopictus and aegypti. So.
Interesting. Yeah. Any further questions for Luke?
No. Just good luck, and you got some big shoes to fill.
I do. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Luke. Congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you.
And we do appreciate everything you do out there. So we know you're extremely effective at what you do. You can tell just by going a couple of miles outside of town.
Yes.
Anybody forgets. So,
anyway, all right. So,
thanks, Luke.
You're welcome.
So thank you, Vince.
I'm a little disappointed. You were a little easy on him. If that was me, you'd ask, how did you tell they were female mosquitoes? I'm surprised nobody asked it.
I wanted to, but I didn't want to be that guy.
The question was here, but I did not allow him to ask it.
I was going to ask that question. I'm sorry, be that guy.
I did not allow Mr. Salisbury to answer that.
I do got to admit, I was out there one day visiting, and I walked in, and they're sitting at the table, all kinds of white pieces of paper layer on the table, and got little tweezers, and they're counting mosquitoes. Counting mosquitoes, separating them, counting them, and determining just
determining what kind of species they are, because every species breeds in a different source. So if we have a trap on the south end of the city limits and it's showing a really high number of maybe Acilix tarsalis, which is one of our main vectors for West Nile virus, they'll breed in certain sources that the anopheline or the Aedes won't. So you kind of know what to look for in that general area. And all the mosquitoes have different flight ranges also. The anopheline could go 10, 15 mile flight range. The Acilix tarsalis are around 5, and then the Aedes are even less, or usually around a mile at the most.
Okay, 10 or 15 miles in how much time on the flight range?
Oh boy,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
depends on your wind.
Yeah.
I'm not positive on that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So.
I thought I was just killing a mosquito. I didn't know what brand.
Between a male and a female, around their proboscis, which is their biting part, the males will have really furry antennas to the side of it, where the females won't. So you could see it with the naked eye when you smash a mosquito. It'll be really furry around the face.
Oh, so. I see blood.
Oh, and the mosquito. Oh, boy, Luke.
So Vince thought you were pulling wings off, so he wanted to get in on that section. Oh. Okay. Thank you, Luke.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vince. Appreciate it. Item 6B, Tim Denley, on behalf of the Willows Kiwanis Club, will introduce a proposal to the City Council concerning a city parks project. Mr. Denley, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. My name is Tim Denley. I'm here on behalf of the Willows Kiwanis. I'm the Vice President of Kiwanis. I'm here also with the Secretary of Kiwanis, Mr. John Hayes, and the President of Kiwanis, my fiance, Ashley Buskirk. I am here to put forward a project proposal to repair the park fence, well, for most part, remove it around Sycamore and Jensen Park. As we see every time we go past there, it is a very good portion of it is beyond repair in my eyes, and there are many places that are big enough to drive even truck four through if we wanted to. There's nails, there's staples hanging off of it. It's home to black widows, and I know it was built originally to keep children from running out into the street. When I lived on Plumas Street back when I was seven, I know even back then I was just jumping over it. So what I'm putting forward today is the proposal to remove the majority of the fence on both Sycamore and Jensen and place the sign displaying City Ordinance 9.05.060. It is a city ordinance saying that you will not drive or ride a horse or a vehicle through the parks, and then it lists the different punishments that come with it, such as an infraction, misdemeanor, or even time in jail. So I've done some pretty extensive research over the past month and a half. When I took on this project, I went and spoke originally with Rotary because I saw in the newspaper that they wanted to take this project. I spoke with them and I kind of became the spearhead for this, and since then I've been approached by the Knights of Columbus with Chief Jim Jacobs. I've been approached with the Willow's Car and Bike Show, pledged their support. Willow's Volunteer Fire Department has pledged they will help me as well, since I'm a member of them as well. So there is multiple support for this. We just need someone to start it in gear. So I want to be that liaison between the various community service organizations and the City of Willows to help us come to an understanding of how we should best proceed with this. My cousin, I sent him some pictures, and through the wonders of Photoshop, managed to remove the fence so we could give you kind of an idea of what it would look like without the fence right now. So this is Sycamore Park. I've lived here my entire life. I should be able to know the street names by now, but this is on the west side of Sycamore Park.
Culver.
Thank you, sir. And then the next photo, this is what it would look like without the fencing removed right there. This part of the park, and for Sycamore Park, since it's two entirely separate entities, this I would feel very comfortable removing the fence line along Sycamore Street and Culver Street, because we have a squared off curb right there, so it's next to impossible for anyone to drive into there. The only part of Sycamore Park that I would possibly think of repairing or replacing would be the east side over there, right next to the playground. Since it is just a squared off alleyway, it goes straight into the park. There's no sort of curb or barrier of any sort to get into and out of the park. So I don't want there to be, it's just that right there just is a little too easy for it to get in. So that's my plan right now is to, I've looked into new fencing. A lot of it gets really expensive really quickly. I would like to use salvage from the fence that we take out in Sycamore to repair that part of the fence, since it's only several hundred feet. I calculated up all of the fence line that we have right now, and it exceeds well over a mile. And there are some good planks out there that we'll be able to reuse to fix up that fence. Jensen Park, that is what it looks like facing the western softball and baseball fields. The bathroom and everything is there, and then you skip past it. Mm-hmm. That's what it would look like without the fence right there. That is one place that I really would like City Council input on, because that is the place that there is not a square curb in there, and after many surprise meetings with Mr. Steve Soth and talking about, well, what would you think if we put in this, all the red tape that comes with it, I want to make sure that it is safe for the public. I believe it's safe right now, but I understand if we want a physical border along this side of the street. I've looked into putting in a new curb. That would require a lot of permits and a lot of money, but I'm very open to suggestions. this right here. I personally would like to remove all of it at Jensen Park, especially down by the rose bushes. I've spoken with Mr. Soth. He wants to cut those down so it provides a retaining wall to the roses and the wood chips we have down there. But besides that, I personally think that the fence is so dilapidated that it doesn't serve much of a purpose for keeping people that want to get in and out of the park. Really doesn't prevent any traffic. And then for the car and bike show, we open it up for them anyways so we can mark which spots are per designated thoroughfare parking areas to know for stuff like that. I personally believe removing the fence around all of it like that provides more open, airy sort of feel to the parks. So I'm going to encourage people to come more, take pride in the community and look at it, because right now everyone drives by and looks at it and goes, it's some places they're sunk all the way down into the ground. Other places it's just nothing but broken bits of wood sticking up. So that is my proposal.
Okay. Well thank you, Tim. Members of the council, have any questions or comments for Mr. Danley?
My only comment is that I absolutely agree with you that something needs to be done because it's unsafe. There's a lot of areas there that are unsafe right now.
Thank you. Anything further? Larry?
Yeah, I have a comment. It's great that you're coming up with this idea. If people in the community want to volunteer and do a project like this, I think it's awesome. I kind of like the fence. It kind of gives it some kind of a facade. It does look good, but it does have to go down. Maybe in the future, there could be an alternative or an addition to that. But I think it looks good with the fence, but taking it down has to be done. Thank you.
Which is something I'm more than happy to make this not just a one-off project. I would love to continue working and look into new fencing, because that is when I conducted actually some community polling, and I've been asking many members of the community about what they would like to see. And one of the things they did mention is they would like a new fence, especially around this part, because, and that's, if there was anything I would love to replace, it's just too long. That stretch along Jensen Park is almost 2,000 feet of fence. If we were ever to replace something, I would like to do that. I've been looking into various styles of fencing, and the split rail fence, which I don't think would look much better than this, and we'd just be replacing another 10 years, is about the cheapest option, and it was $7 a foot. So right there, you're already talking $14,000. I have thought of the idea of reaching up to various things for donations, but for the most part, I wanted to get city council approval or at least get started on the right direction before I started looking into saying, okay, let's start getting donations for a new fence. I would love, yeah.
When I moved here in 94, I remember hitting both parks thinking, wow, how cool this looked with those fences all the way around the park. It looked really nice. It was very attractive. So I hope in the future when there is funding that we could actually put a similar type fence or a better idea around that park, but yes, it is, it has to go.
Okay, thank you, Larry. Jim?
I personally like it without the fence myself. It just, you know, the fence is old and outdated, and I'd like it without the fence. I think it gives it more character than the fence. The fence just, I think, takes away from, like you said, it's, you know, it's there, it served a purpose at one point in time, it doesn't serve a purpose really, more aesthetics than anything, but I kind of like it like that. My opinion.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Jeff?
Well, actually, I was hoping, Vince, you was on council, you know, back when this was installed. Do you recall what the purpose was? Was it to keep vehicles out, or?
I think Jim's hit on it, it was as a barrier, just to, parents a visual also where the kids are and how they get out of there.
Yeah.
And contrary probably if I wasn't on the council. For first plan. Yeah. But I think it was a visual thing. I think it was the parents for the kids and things like that. Bicycles, cars, and just that kind of stuff. I agree with Councilman Mello. Sometimes they can do that. But, I agree with the fence. I think it adds a little something to it and it distinguishes it.
Well, thank you. Actually, I agree as well. I do like the idea of having the fence there as a barrier to keep, because little ones can get away from you so darn quick. And if there's, you know, just that, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we're going to have to replace, you know, the existing, but I would like to see something, you know, come up with. But, you know, I appreciate you guys, you know, doing this as a group, because it's, you know, for us, it's much cheaper.
Exactly. And that's actually another aspect of it. If we did have the amount of salvage to fix that 2,000 feet, I would look into it. But personally, I would like to start with taking it all out and then replacing it. But if you're talking about cost, one of the other things that I've spoken with Mr. Soth is all salvage will go to the city yard to be auctioned off for funds to go back into the city treasury, because I know there are lots of people out here who love working with wood, including my cousin over in Chico. So it would be almost a net positive to the city of Willows. And especially since if we just go ahead with removing the majority of it, the costs are going to be very little. I've had people already say, hey, I've got equipment, and we have plenty of dirt out on our farm that we can use to backfill the posts. So the overall cost will be none, if not positive, to the city of Willows, and very little to the service clubs.
Thanks, Jim. Anything further?
No, sir.
No, yeah, I first off just want to say thank you, Tim, for spearheading this, and also thank you to all of the service organizations that are involved in this. And like Vice Mayor Warren said, I agree with that. Something, doing something is better than doing nothing, so something needs to be done. I can also, I can see all sides of having fencing and not having fencing. So, you know, and I think I'd be curious what our professional city staff, our public works director, and our interim city manager thought about that right now. I don't think we're going to solve this issue tonight, but I know that, you know, I think that something, you know, in my opinion, something needs to be done, and thank you very much for stepping up, and let's work together and get something done.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And I think we're all in the same agreement. Doing something.
Yeah, let's keep the communication open. Let's see where we can go with it.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Chief Peabody is essentially my second boss, so just call the fire department, and I'm sure someone will find me.
Well, not for long. You're getting married, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I can also talk to my other second boss.
I will settle for third.
Yes, yeah, she'll be your first boss.
First and second boss. She'll be your third boss.
Chief. So you were asking for what my personal or my opinion on this matter would be.
Yes.
I personally, on the Sycamore part, due to the straight curb on the west and the north end, I would like to see that removed with the east side of the park repaired, which is over by the children's area. I believe that's a, with the straight curb, I believe that would be a good good aspect to try this out and see the look. And then if we can take a look at that, do this part first, and then move to the Jensen Park secondarily with maybe a different plan if we don't like the idea of this one.
Sure. Okay. Very good. Your thoughts, council members?
No. Okay. Good
idea.
So it's the consensus to remove the west and the north fencing at the Sycamore Park.
In agreement?
Yeah. And repair the east.
Yeah. That is a consensus, starting with Sycamore Park.
And then we will revisit the Jensen Park.
Mm-hmm. Very good. You have consensus. Very good.
You good with that, Mr. Soph? Good enough. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Don't wake Steve up further over there.
No,
concentrating.
Chief hit exactly what I wanted to do. Sycamore Place is a great place to start. The west and north ends are the ones that, as you said, are squared off the curb, and they have the sidewalk, so it will be a great place to take that out, fix up the east side, reevaluate it, and I'll come in for another city council meeting with an update and pictures, and we can go from there. If we want to move ahead with Jensen, we'll move right on with that.
Very good. Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good, Tim. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for all your efforts. I'd like to help, too. I belong to one of those service groups. I'd like to help.
So. I will keep in mind, sir.
Yeah,
thank
so.
You.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to item number 7, consent agenda. Consent items are considered to be routine by the City Council and will be enacted in one motion. There will be no separate discussion on these items unless a council person requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda. It is recommended that the council, item 7A, consider approval of the general checking, payroll, and direct deposit check registers. Item 7B, consider approval of the February 14th, 2017 regular City Council meeting minutes. Item 7C, consider approval of the February, the agenda reflects February 28th, like to make a note that this should be February 15th. So item 7C would read, consider approval of the February 15th, 2017 special city council meeting minutes. And item 7D, consider approval of appropriations that the city council discussed at the February 15th mid-year budget review meeting and directed staff to place on this meeting's agenda for formal action. Pleasure of the council.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'll move the consent agenda be passed with as amended.
Mr. Yoder's moved to approve the consent agenda as amended. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Vice Mayor Warren has seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Carries 5-0. Thank you very much. Item 8, public hearings. There are none scheduled this evening. Item 9, ordinances. There are none scheduled. Item 10, regular business agenda items requiring council action. Item 10A, set a date and time to conduct a special meeting to set budget priorities for 2017-2018. Chief Peabody.
Good evening, all. I guess most everybody left.
What's left? Thank you for staying.
What happened?
There was a mass exodus.
So what we have before you tonight is a request to set a date for setting budget priorities, and we are looking at possibly next Tuesday or next Thursday. Staff's preference would be Tuesday, if available, to start working on the 17-18 budget.
Okay, very good. Very good, Chief. The preference would be Tuesday at 3 p.m.?
3 p.m.
It would be Tuesday, March 7th at 3 p.m. Council members, does that date and time work with
3 p.m.?
Tuesday the 7th. 1,500 hours?
Yep.
Work
okay
with me.
I was going to have to, I guess. But, yeah, I'll make it work somehow.
I have a conflict on Thursday the 9th, so are we set for the 7th?
I'll make it work.
Okay.
Right. I'll make it work.
7th at 3.
7th at 1,500. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Very well. Thank you.
Anything further? Chief?
Nothing further.
Okay. Okay, financial. Get the right page here. Very good. Okay. Item 11, council staff reports comments. Brief reports by members of the administrative staff and the council regarding correspondence, events, and or meetings attended, and upcoming meetings events. Reports shall be limited to city business and shall not request or lead to action by the council at this meeting. Any request that requires council action will be set by the council for a future agenda or referred to staff. We'll start with item 11A, staff comments, reports. Chief, ICM?
No comments.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing from the table. Okay. Item 11B, City Council comments, reports. Vice Mayor Warren, would you like to begin?
I don't have any committee reports, though I do want to say the Willis High School girls had a playoff game tonight. I have not heard if they're still playing or if they won. And three of the high school boys made it to district sections last weekend. So, and one of those would have been my son. So they didn't end up going to state, but they all did well, and we're very proud of all of them. So that's all.
Very
I
good.
Have.
Very good. Go Honkers.
Yeah.
And so they're playing in Susanville, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was game time?
7.
Oh, 7.
So they're still playing.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you, Kerry. Mr. Mullen.
I attended the Glen County Waste Management meeting, but there's nothing to report. And I just have a comment about volunteerism. It's people like Tim Danley and other people in Willows that go way beyond, and they volunteer their services, and that's all about. One of the things I really liked about Willows is there's so many volunteers in this town, from the library to the helping children out, working at the Senior Citizen Center. I'm amazed every time, especially with some of like this man coming up here and volunteering his time. So I'm constantly surprised. That's all I'm impressed.
Very good. Jim?
No, I haven't. I've just been trying to find someone to volunteer. But I want there to be nice to me.
We are always taking volunteers at the station.
No. It's true. Tim and those guys, these organizations do a fabulous job. They do. So, my hat's off to you guys. You guys do a great job.
Jim is a particular volunteer.
Yeah. I got babies to raise, I ain't got time.
If I could interrupt, and I think Councilmember Williams, having donated at the same time he has, if you're a particular volunteer, we have both learned that if you give blood or plasma, you can do something good while laying down and taking a nap. It is a good combination, so.
When I was in the Marine Corps, I went and gave blood one time, and they made me stay there for like 2 hours afterwards because they wanted to see, make sure I wasn't going to pass out. So, you know, and the thing is having a career in law enforcement, you know, I've seen worst of the worst of bodies. And nothing, you know, it was just, it didn't bother me. But you stick a needle in me, it's like, collapse.
Thought it was worth a try, sir. We wanted to give you an opportunity to do something good while doing nothing at the same time. It's the perfect situation, so.
Jeff?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Actually, on the 16th of this month, I attended the Regional Transit Committee meeting, and as you well know, Mayor Hansen was nominated chair again, and Supervisor Foltz was nominated vice chair, which hasn't changed from last year. Our meetings, they just went over the meetings. The meetings are scheduled for every third Thursday. They alternate from Orland to Willows monthly, and they start at 9 o'clock. So, of those of you who like to attend. And there was, you know, just a report on the salary increase to improve recruitment and actually, you know, to take care of the mandated minimum wage. Some of our bus drivers, you know, were actually paid right at minimum wage. And with the mandated change, you know, they had to automatically increase their salary. And I believe it was, is it right, Gary, $2 an hour? Is that what the proposal is? Okay.
Yeah.
And then we had a budget report. The ridership on Glen Ride and the Dial Ride is down, and they suspect it's because of the low fuel prices. But because of the low fuel prices, you know, it's cheaper to operate the buses, so, you know, that's a plus. So it kind of offsets each other. The only thing that was really stood out was the volunteer medical ridership is up by 81%, and they definitely need volunteer drivers, you know, for elderly folks that can't get to, you know, the doctor's appointments, and some of them are over Chico. It does say volunteer, but they do pay a stipend, so it's not, you know, all on the volunteer driver. So, you know, that's a, you know, good thing to do for the community if you're, you know, have the time in a vehicle. And they are meeting their fare box ratio, which is, it must be at least 10%, and they're at 14.5, which we're good there. And during the discussions, Vice Mayor Bruce Roundy of Orland asked if there was a plan to use the buses in case of a need for evacuation like Oroville with a flood. And Ms. Gray, is that correct, Gary? Said with paratransit, assured us that, you know, they did have a plan in place and that she has dealt with that in the past. So, you know, that was a good thing because, you know, a lot of them, you know, folks over on the east side of the valley, you know, that was a huge undertaking, you know, moving all them people, and that was quite a mess. So I think that's a good thing that they at least looked into that. Okay, on the 23rd, I attended the Cities and Counties Economic Development meeting with the interim city manager, Wayne Peabody. Mrs. Lamb and Ms. Simmons, she's here tonight, gave us an update on new possible businesses, startups. And I apologize, I didn't take notes because I can't multitask. And so next council meeting, I will actually, you know, have the minutes to give an update. You know, we did have a speaker from California Northern Railroad, and he spoke about the rail service and how important it is to the communities for, you know, business development. And it was actually very interesting. It's a, you know, global company, and you know, they've come in. They've got a long-term lease through Union Pacific, and so they run a lot of the areas in here. So. You know, the rest of it, I will turn it over to Wayne and let him, you know, give you some more information if you...
I'm here for questions. Actually, Jody is here. She wants to add any on, but Northern Railroad had come in. That is definitely part of all the economic development that we have been talking about and looking at business-wise. Rail is a very big piece of the puzzle as far as industrial and commercial development. And we just are fortunate that we have a rail line running right here in town that we may be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, and I think that came up a few years back when we looked at the feasibilities of everything, especially on that line and having a, you know, utilizing that open area, you know, there by Fuhing and in that area there, just to be able to put something
spurs
there and spurs and stuff. And I think we talked, that must have been 6-7 years ago, I think, that topic.
We're fortunate to have the rail here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Anything further?
No, sir.
Jeff?
Other than if you wanted to, Jody had anything that she would like to add to that?
Jody, good evening. Do you have anything to comment on tonight? Okay.
We're just all still moving forward.
Very good. Very good. Good to see you, Jody. Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. The same date following the Regional Transit Committee, we had the Glynn County Transportation Commission meeting on February 16th. Three items of particular to note. I want to just congratulate Marty Thomas with the County of Glynn. The Donald Reynolds CPA conducted our 2015-2016 audit, and his comments were that, you know, Marty Thomas, Mr. Thomas, has his act together. He was very pleased with the financial condition of the Transportation Commission, and very pleased with the work that Marty Thomas and the team do for the Regional Transit Committee and the Glynn County Transportation Commission. He had very good things to say, and just wanted to let the public know that they're doing excellent work over there, we got a glowing audit report with very good comments from the CPA. And this is a new CPA. The CPA is his first year with the Transportation Commission in this role. Secondly, the construction contract was awarded for the Glynn Transit Service bus barn. The contract was awarded to ABS Builders as the lowest responsible bidder in the amount of $409,000. It's good. Great to hear. So anyway, construction will commence soon. So there will be a bus barn. It's going to be complete, not just a bus barn, it's also going to be a service building as well. The lifts are going to be moved there. So it'll be a complete comprehensive facility located at the county yard. And lastly, just wanted to mention that the Butte City Bridge construction is now officially slated, if you haven't been advised, to begin in the spring of 2020 and will conclude in the fall of 2022. So in Butte City and Southeast Glynn County will not be cut off as was initially planned by Caltrans. So construction will begin in the spring of 2020. The project is currently in planning and engineering stage. So with that,
what route are they going to take? Are they going to go?
You know, they're still working on that.
They're going to straighten it out and go around.
Yeah, there's three options. I haven't heard what the final option is going to be. Yeah, they're still in the engineering. Yeah. So yeah. I kind of doubt it. I think they're going to pretty much use an existing route and just actually move the structure to the north, I think, a short distance.
I don't want to bypass the Butte City.
It doesn't sound like that's going to happen. So, yeah, right. At this point. So. And that's all I had. So moving on to the following item 12, executive session. Council will convene into an executive session pursuant to California Government Code Sections 54950 et seq. More specific information regarding the closed session items is indicated below. And public comment pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.3, the public will have an opportunity to directly address the legislative body on the item below prior to the council convening in a closed session. Public comments are generally restricted to 3 minutes. The item that we're convening into executive session for is item 12A, Public Employee Performance Evaluation pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, titled City Manager. Is there any public comment on this matter before we convene into executive session? Anything?
Oh, no.
Jody?
Sorry.
If you could,
shouldn't have been smart that last time.
If you could state your name for the record, please.
Sure.
It's not mandatory, but it is appreciated by our
sure.
clerk pro tem.
Jody Samons, Samons.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Hansen and council members. When I saw this item on the agenda, I knew that I needed to make the trip back down from Orland this evening after feeding the pigs to make a comment. And I'm not sure that I have the setup exactly right, that I have a these people behind my back, but I just wanted to call attention and thank Chief Peabody for his teamwork and the exemplary cooperation that's happening now between the cities and the county. In my 37 years, I know I started when I was three, but government service, you know, there are times when the atmosphere is just right to make things happen. There are other times when we spend so much time butting heads, we never move any further down the road. And I just wanted to thank Wayne in public for his leadership on that team, the support he's given me in my new role, and the things we are accomplishing, and the even more things we hope to accomplish. We have a lot on our to-do list, and I feel us all moving forward, and I just wanted to say thank you to him and share that appreciation with all of you as you go into his evaluation time. And as I often do with other public servants, I always advocate, even though it's not my job, to give them a pay raise and extra vacation time. So you can always ask, you know? Not that you'd get to take it, Wayne, you'd have to come home early, but.
I understood.
So anyway, but thank you very much. And I just can't express enough of the cooperation and the good feeling we have all moving forward with Pete Carr from Orland, Chief Peabody here in Willows, and then the county staff.
Thank you very much for your comments, sir.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Thank you,
Jody.
And thank you as well for all of your efforts. And yeah, you are a pleasure to work with as well, Jody. Thank you very much. Any further public comment on this matter? Okay, hearing none, the time is
wait.
Now.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Tim, Mr. Danley.
I figured since I'm here, I'll say something. If he tries to think that I'm sucking up to him, that's not. But I felt the need to say is, I had a lot of terrible commanders in my 4 years in the military, a lot of terrible sergeants as well. I think I had maybe one or two good leaders the entire time, and Chief Peabody has outshone all of them. He is not just a good person, but he's a great commander. Every time we've gotten on scene, because I've only been into fire service for 2 years now, if even that, I would have, yeah, 2 years of this next coming weekend. And I remember the first time I got to a fire and I went, I have no clue what I'm doing. And next thing you know, here's Chief yelling at me, this is what you're gonna do, do this, do this, do this. He knows how to delegate. He knows how to lead a team through some really tough situations, but he also knows how, when we get back to the station, how to help us relax. He knows how to decompress. And he, you know, 1 second he's making you laugh, the next second he's got his hand on your shoulder going, hey, you're gonna be good. Because I mean, again, through the past 2 years, we've been through some pretty tough calls, even with the past couple of months, that have stressed my resolve. First 6 months that I was in, I went on a really bad call for a very close friend of mine, grandfather, who unfortunately passed away. And the outpouring of just, attempt to say love and praise and helpfulness and friendliness was something that I almost quit that week because it drove me in such a spiral. But both Chief Prigio and Lyndon Haynes and Chief Peabody all came and said, hey, we're here for you. We're gonna get through this. So personally, I don't know how to manage sleeps between doing a city manager job and the chief of the fire service job, and going up and playing in the ambulance up in Reading and traveling the world, but I just felt the need, since I'm here, to voice my opinion that he is one of the greatest men I've ever known. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Danley.
A fast comment.
Mr. Miller.
Hey, Tim. I did 34 years in the service, and you started to walk up here, he started talking, and you went right to, and at ease, put your hands behind your back and went, oh, that guy's military.
It's for, especially coming here, I've been telling Ashley all day, I've been a little bit stressed about it. It's my first time coming from a city council, but I said, you know, hey, I've faced down enough colonels that I think I can, you know, hopefully handle a, you know, city council.
Oh, that was it. I seen it. Yep.
old habits die hard.
I didn't see a stand-up, Jim. My apologies. So, Larry, I think that was you.
Yeah, I spotted it.
Oh, I thought you did it intentionally.
I did not.
I would have assumed so.
But I did not.
Thank you.
Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any further public comment on this matter? Okay. Thank you very much for your comments. Time is now 19:50 hours, 7:50 p.m., and we will convene into executive session. Thank you.
No, I actually thought you